Welcome to the Women Influencers in Business and CRE podcast. I am Veronica Malolos, CCIM founder and CEO of Capstack Commercial, a commercial real estate company serving the greater Orlando area. Today's guest is Cherie Rice Roan. Raised around the broadcasting business, Cherie has become one of the most respected and inspirational mentors and leaders the Florida CCIM and Realtor organization has ever known. Please don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and subscribe below. I welcome your comments and please share with someone who can benefit from this podcast.
Hi, Cherie. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you for joining me here in our podcast. I think it's so exciting because you are someone that I really look up to. So thank you, Cherie, for doing that. I wanted to just get right into it. And if you don't mind, I would love to hear your story, how you grew up in your environment and how you got to where you are today.
Oh my goodness, I'm a ragamuffin if you really want to know the truth. I'm a multi-generational to Florida and Orlando. My father was in broadcast field and church ministry and things of that nature. So we grew up all over the Southeast, and I grew up actually on stage in a singing family in a gospel group.
Wow.
And then as we settled back into Florida, somehow I ran into, I thought at the time, the love of my life. And then Vietnam came in and kind of took over and changed that story around. And so I went to work pretty young here at 14 here in Orlando at a little dress shop. Graduated all, of course, high schools in the Florida schools. And I went to school in Chicago, to Chicago School of Interior Design, because women couldn't be engineers at my age and at that period of time. I had a scholarship at the University of Florida, but I wanted to be more engineer, and just that didn't happen. I didn't fit the mold at that way. Actually, women could not take that kind of classes.
Wow.
So as time went, I did that. I went to work with an architectural engineering firm. And did very well with that. Got some great projects to my credit, one being Lakeland Civic Center Auditorium and multi things there. And then I moved to Jacksonville with an architectural firm. And from there, I went to work with the Real Estate Investment Trust. And I kept seeing all this money going to the trust. And this was in the 70s, I guess, and about the time that the government said, you really have to hire women in some of these positions. So I was in a great position at the time that that happened. And I was working with the REIT. And so this was like a 70, 71. And seeing the money going that way with real estate, I said, let me get my license. And so in 71, I got my license. My first deal was an 11-unit hotel at Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville. I knew right off I wasn't really good at all with houses, because my patient level for women that didn't understand you could paint a wall and go upset that the kitchen would be pink and not understand. I just wasn't, my patient level wasn't that. I had earned my accounting. I knew accounting very, very well. And so it's from there I proceeded, was with Century 21 for a long time there. And then, as time changed, I moved back. We had always had a beach house in Daytona, so I moved down there from Jacksonville. And then I fell in love again and moved to Claremont. And Claremont at that period of time had about 4,500 people in it. They had not sprinkled house deed yet. So by this time, my son was in school, in high school in the 80s. And actually Claremont, at the growth about what Florida's about, Claremont had 96 kids in the graduating class in 1983. You think about what the last 40 years have done to Central Florida. So I technically, when my grandchildren were born in the 90s, I technically had sold my business in Claremont by that time and somewhat retired. And so my son insisted I was being too lazy, playing too much, and so that I needed to start another business. So that's where I started Nicole and Hudson. A lot of people ask me that, where is Nicole? And Nicole is the middle name of my granddaughter, which is now a licensed real estate broker. Hudson is the middle name of my grandson, also a licensed real estate agent. And So that's kind of the extent of what put me into real estate. And just, I kept going, plodding along, and here I am.
Wow. And I know you have also been very active in leadership. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think my background of the ability to run my mouth and have a microphone in my hand and volunteer, because one thing about being in real estate is, and that I think is very beneficial, not only to yourself and your job, but to the industry and to the people into the industry and the people that you serve, is to be involved in real estate. I've been very, very fortunate as a past president to the Commercial Association. And I've been past state president, of course, with CCIM. And I've been monster blessed. I'll get teary-eyed. But I've been appointed Realtor of the Year twice, once with Orlando Regional Realtor and once with the Central Florida Commercial Association of Realtor. I've won awards that I know other people would deserve, but somehow they call my name. But I believe your involvement in real estate and your association and your community is really what is one of the most advantageous things that moves you forward for success in real estate. I firmly believe that. I believe that that's a point made that you don't have to advertise if your name is who they are, because they know who you are and they know you from your being involved and they know what you're about.
Yeah, and of course, being able to contribute to an organization is a blessing that goes both ways, right? I'm sure you were a blessing to your organizations and also that they were a blessing to you. Well, that's fantastic, Cherie. I have to say that's really why I have always admired you, is because you are so giving in your talent, your advice, and you have been one of my mentors. So I really, really appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit about maybe one challenge that you overcame that sticks out in your mind. What would that be?
I think one of the greatest challenges that runs into life, not just myself, because what we do about life is not just about ourselves. I think our contribution to life is not an individual progress. It's a circumstance of we're all one group working together to help each other, no matter what we do. And I do believe that one of the biggest challenges that occurred to me was during the time of Vietnam and being a single mom and working in a man's world at that time. And because between 1965, when they sent everybody, seemed to me like everybody in Fort Jenning, Georgia, and as a mother that was with a young child, was not easy. And of course, then the stipends that came from the government was almost zero. I think I look back on that, found papers, and you get a whole $212 a month. That doesn't go very far. But I finished out college in Atlanta while during that as a single mom, and then working as a single mom. And then as the position that I took in the 70s on then, that allowed me in that man's world, that when I got moved up to be in a man's job, which I would have my child, and they were fortunate again with that. And that obstacle was they wanted me to travel. And so I would go between Orlando, at that time I was Lim Jackson, Orlando, Atlanta, and then down to Melbourne and managing properties and things. And I would get on the corporate airplane on Monday, and I had a daycare system in place at all three cities. And I'd spend a week in each of those cities. So those were obstacles that are not easily overcome. And especially back then, today's world is many daycares. Back in the early 70s, number one, the thing was you were considered women's lib if you worked in something right, like that. But that was hard. Those were difficult times. But you just got to keep going.
Sure. And you just made it happen. I'm sure you adjusted and you pivoted and you just made it happen, because that's just the kind of person that you are. So that's really very admirable. I wanted to also ask you if there's one thing that came to mind that you would think was your greatest impact on somebody or an organization, what would that be?
Oh my goodness. When you say impact and use on the words, there's an old song, Lord, it's hard to be humble. And it really, I feel very humbled about how fortunate that I have been. But I do believe, and there are some ladies, you, myself, that have come up to me and have stated that the impact I've made, I don't believe that I noticed that going on. I don't know that, because it's not like you get up in the morning and go, who am I going to impact today? You know, or who am I going to influence today? That's just not my nature. I believe there are so many other fabulous women in this industry. One of the greatest that I don't know that I influenced, but I do know that she influenced me. And that was in getting my CCIM and being involved in that, of course, was the queen of retail, Miss Cynthia. And those women like that are of that quality, her, Sherry Meadows, those, the likes of those ladies that just, you stand back in awe, or I do. I mean, I really feel very blessed to have met them. But the ones of influence that I have several that come up tell me that they wouldn't be where they were today if it hadn't been for me. And I sit and wonder what I did other than say, carry that. Exactly. They'll know who they are if they're watching this.
Sure. And I do have to say that you have always been encouraging, not just to me, but to everybody, wanting to prod people along. I think that's really fantastic. And of course, has been a great impact on me personally. So Cherie, if you had one piece of advice for our audience out there, what would that be?
Oh my goodness, one piece? You're going to limit me to one piece of advice? That's an impossibility. The one thing, advice, is never stop. You know, you can't stop believing. You can't stop what you're doing and say, I quit. You can't stop what you feel is moving you. You've got to be yourself. You've got totally, you can't walk out of the house and go, well, I plan to do this today and think you're going to influence something. You are who you are as people recognize you. But the one thing to me is never stop. Don't give up. You've got a belief in yourself you must have. I tell that to that young lady in Chicago right now, you know, as we, our family, you know, my granddaughter, everybody knows I'm a big fan there. But you can't, no matter what the obstacles are, you must figure out a way to get over the obstacle. If it's part of your goal, you just can't stop. You just don't stop.
Yeah, absolutely. Great words. And you couldn't have said it more succinctly. I appreciate that, because people do tend to take two steps back when there is a barrier that they're afraid of. So love that advice, never stop. So we've come to the portion of our interview where I get to hand over the mic to you and you get to ask me a question. So I'm super
excited. My goodness. All right. So from when I first saw you, I mean, there are X number of people that, you know, you see and you get to know for different reasons, because you see leadership in people. I've told you that from the day I met you, like, it's leadership in people. And I know that when you first stepped in and prior to getting the CCIM, and I can't say how proud I was that day to give you the red jacket and the pen. And that's one of my greatest feelings, is handing that. But what was the changing moment that said to you, I want to get into commercial real estate. I'm a residential agent. And I want to step into commercial real estate. What was that motivation and moment?
So I'll be honest with my answer. And thank you for the question. I think a lot of people have asked me that. But I was fortunate enough for a door to be opened to me to step into commercial real estate. So, and I've spoken about that in other podcast interviews about how I transitioned into commercial real estate. And of course, that involved, number one, the door that was open to me, and number two, the mentors that actually helped me transition. And of course, CCIM as a as a provider of really the top-notch education in commercial real estate. But I will tell you about commercial real estate and me as far as it being the best fit, right? So when people come to me and say, should I do commercial real estate or should I stay in residential? I always talk about you have to pick what is the best fit for you, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I really, really love the fact that I don't get to work on weekends because most in commercial real estate are business people and they don't really want to be bothered by 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. Forget it. If you're looking for an answer, wait until Monday morning. And I start my Mondays very, 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 very early. Let's say like 8 o'clock or 7:30, I'm already starting to reach out to my clients or whoever I needed to reach out to. I think it's a good fit for me. I am a very analytical person and certainly love the fact that commercial real estate is very business-like, very numbers-like, hardly any emotion. Although I've had opportunity to have clients where emotions was a big part, even in commercial real estate.
Yes, absolutely.
But I love that. And I think that when and if someone, for instance, in the audience asks themselves, is this the right move for me? You really need to ask yourself the question, am I a good fit for this? Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of preparation you need to do to go into commercial real estate. And you have to be a self-starter. You have to make sure that you're educating yourself. CCIM is a great way to do that. So I really believe that it is a personal decision more than anything. Even if the door opened to you, make sure that you're good at it. So that would be my answer to that, Cherie. And thank you for the question. And more than that, I want to thank you for gracing our podcast today.
I've been blessed.
I think that this was just a fantastic opportunity for the audience out there to get to know someone like you. And by the way, you're really in this business a long time and you are this fabulous octogenarian. Am I correct in that?
Don't even say that out loud. Like I said, if you take 1971 and I won't even say what year I graduated high school, but yes, I got a plug I want to give though.
Sure.
In the fortune of things that have gone on, one of the greatest accomplishments I really believe that has occurred was in this last year, I was honored with a CCIM endowed scholarship in my name. That still is a very emotional thing to me. And I, for those that are wanting to get into CCIM and to understand that the Certified Commercial Investment Member as CCIM, that how important that is and how it helps you so much in the commercial industry, the designation, not just the designation alone, but the people that you meet, the camaraderie that's there, the professionalism and the education and the tools. But to have something named in perpetuity, I mean, I was floored. I really was floored. I can only compliment the Institute and my Florida chapter for that.
Oh, and you certainly deserve it, Cherie, for everything that you've given to this industry, for a woman so bold and so very giving. I think that you certainly deserve that. So I just want to thank you, Cherie, for spending the time with me today. And I'm hoping that a lot of people took away a lot of things, good things from you. So again, I say thank you. And I know I'll see you sometime soon.
Anytime. I'm here to help. That's my motto. Here to help.